Good morning, everyone. The mayor advises the meeting and members of the public, the council meetings, not including closed sessions, are audio recorded and published on council's website. I acknowledge the traditional owners of this land, the Tasmanian Aboriginal people, past, present and future. Thank you to all councillors for the past term and good luck on the coming election. Yesterday we said goodbye to our general manager who has retired and we welcome Adam as acting general manager until the 21st of November. Welcome, Adam.
Thank you.
It is important to keep in mind that all councillors are asked to be respectful to each other and abide by the structure of the meeting rules. That's in an effort to hold an effective, transparent and productive meeting. Once councillors have read the agenda, which I'm sure you have, I request that they have their motions prepared. I've said that for a long, long time. However, once moved, a motion is moved and seconded, I will ask each councillor to speak to it once. So I'll go around the table. Everyone will have a fair opportunity to speak. The only time councillors have a comment is when their names are called by the chair. So that's important to keep that in mind.
Well, make a statement.
You can.
Thank you, Mayor. I think it's been productive over the last 4 years. Sometimes before we move motions, there'd be a discussion prior that we've often managed to find a consensus or a compromise just in terms of one or two words in the motion. So I don't think we should rule that out just in terms of trying to run a very productive meeting. And I think it's been really good the way we've often been able to just tweak wording. Generally, we're all of the same mind on a lot of these things. And so can we just bear that in mind going forward as
well? We can bear that in mind, and what I've just mentioned is also to do with the Act as well, so we must abide by that as well. So that's basically why I said that. But yes, we've had some good meetings. We've had some very difficult meetings, difficult decisions to make, which we have ended up making, and there's been lots of debates around the table, and that's what makes a good council. And I believe that we have become a good team. And we'll see what the future holds.
More of the same.
Well, no one knows really, do we? But well, let's hope that it's all going to be good.
Well, just going forward there, I'd like to wish everyone well as you have in the upcoming election, but hope no one gets re-elected and we all get our lives back.
Well, I'm not sure about that either. I can say I haven't missed chairing a meeting since 2016, so I'm pretty proud of that. I reckon that's almost a...
You've done a few, then.
A record, yeah. So, no, very good. But I do thank you all, and we'll continue on. So we have present, myself, of course, Deputy Mayor Allwright, Councillor Archer, Councillor Bowden, Councillor Honour, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Bailey. We have Janet with the minutes. We've got our Acting General Manager, Adam. And who's missing? Councillor Paul's not here. I haven't received an apology.
No.
You haven't?
No.
Okay, and Councillor Campbell's an apology. She'd just like me to read to you the text she sent this morning. She also said that she sent each one of you
an email. Sent us an email yesterday.
So she said, "Good morning, Mayor Lou. I really hope to be able to attend the final council meeting. Unfortunately, I will be an apology today. Although I'm stepping down from council, I'm very keen to remain active in the community and some committees as time permits. Kind regards, Anita." And I said, "Good morning, Anita. Thank you for your text. I will table your apology and mention you are keen to remain active in the community. It would be great for us to have a chat in the future." And Anita sent back that she would also like to have a chat in the future, and she sent councillors an email as well. So she's still very interested in the agenda, and she does give me her input as well, which is good. So Anita is apology. 5, pecuniary interest declarations. In accordance with Regulation 8.7 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, the Mayor requests councillors to indicate whether they or a close associate has or likely to have a pecuniary interest or any pecuniary or pecuniary detriment or conflict of interest in any item of the agenda. Councillor Honour.
16.3 steps all.
Thank you.
I'm on the committee.
Okay, thank you. Any other pecuniary interests? Conflicts or any? No? All good? Rightio. We shall move on. 6, closed session of the meeting. Regulation 15.1 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015 states that at a meeting, a council by absolute majority or a council committee by simple majority may choose a part of a meeting to the public for a reason specified in sub-regulation 2. As per Regulation 15.1 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, this motion requires an absolute majority. The motion is that pursuant to Regulation 15.1 of Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, Council by absolute majority close the meeting to the public to consider the following matters in closed session. May I have a mover, please? Councillor Cassidy and Councillor Honour. 4 against, that is carried. Thank you, Janet. So we go to our closed session. Good morning, councillors, again. It was a very good closed session meeting. Now we'll move into the open meeting to the public. Due to COVID-19, we still have a limited number for in the gallery, which there's none here today, so that's fine, and it's good to be back in the boardroom. Deputations, none today, being campaign mode. I think it's important that it's a short agenda. So obviously 7.1, public question time, there's no one for public questions. Number 8 is mayoral commitments. 8.1, councillor commitments. Status report to councillors, nothing there. 8.2, general manager's commitments.
Hey, just quickly on the councillor's commitments, I haven't been noting all the Lakes Prisons Royal Plan reviews. Should I be when I'm representing council at them?
When you have commitments, you're supposed to, week before is ring through your commitment. Is that correct, Janet?
It is.
So you're ringing them through to Janet and she records them for you.
Mm-hmm. Even though it's not a full council meeting.
Or at the meeting.
We're taking that meeting today,
and
I've got them taken today, including in the minutes. But if you want them on agenda,
operating
people agenda
company.
I see.
Okay. 8.3 was Deputy General Manager commitments. 9 is the notification of council workshops held. 9.1 is future workshops, Wednesday the 30th of November, Bothwell at 11 o'clock. Councillors' roles and responsibilities facilitated by David Morris. Now those councillors that come back in, get back in. Hopefully we'll all be back in. We need to be here. And for any new councillors, there has to be 2 new councillors we know of. So it is vital that councillors attend this and they can ask questions, they can do whatever, because David Morris, as we know from Simmons Wolfhagen, is brilliant and he will address council on the 30th of November. 10 is mayoral commitments. As you would be aware, the Ouse River flooding on Friday, last Friday, the Ouse River flooded very rapidly and there was the SES, council management, TAS police, hydro, many watching to see how things were going to go. Very nervous wait because we were afraid it might get as bad as 2016. Fortunately, it didn't quite get to there. In saying that, there was a lot of debris and logs and whatever came up against the footbridge. We still are waiting on a report. Jason might have some news after about the damage to the footbridge. And the water receded fairly quickly as well, didn't it, Adam?
Mm.
But in saying that, it was a nervous time. There was other areas in the Central Highlands as well, which Jason will probably give us an idea, unless you have information to that.
Oh, look, I went up to Ooze yesterday just to have a look at the infrastructure there, and most of ours survived, touch wood, pretty well.
Yeah.
Even the garbage tins didn't float away, so
that's
so it was quite, yeah, like things you would have thought would have been taken down into Meadowbank, yeah, didn't actually get picked up, and the handrails are still on the footbridge, so.
You were very
lucky to get that pump out when I was watching it.
Both pumps out, just
so what happened, Councillor Bailey, what pumps were they?
Golf club. The golf club pumps, yeah, we were very lucky. The last one, I got him on my ute at, it was just bashing in the door at that time.
Yeah. Wow, that was lucky then.
I towed the first one out with the ute and, yeah.
Wow, okay.
One of those things.
Yeah.
But we saved them.
Hmm. And what about the golf holes? So they, how did they come up? Like the little par 3 there was covered in water?
I haven't seen it.
It didn't look too good. It didn't look too bad from a distance.
No,
but,
Yeah, I had a call from David Jones, who's got land apparently on the Ouse River there somewhere. He was concerned about debris building up, but not just this flood, previous ones, and wondering if council could provide support. And what I suggested to him was that he'd write to council, that he let council know that there was an issue there ongoing, but also that he contact Eve and Josie and just see if there's something they can do in terms of grants. I understand that they gave Will Bignall 10 grand plus towards removing willows in a section of his farm there, and it was a kind of contribution. So I've suggested to David that he write, but just to like let council know that there is an ongoing issue on some people's farms along the Ouse River, and that we need to keep up the push that we've had for fixing floods on the Clyde and the Ouse. I was very disappointed that once again Clyde River never gets mentioned in terms of flood warnings, and it's a real problem in terms of the thought process in the Department of Meteorology. They say, oh, mentioning it in the Derwent covers it. Clearly it doesn't.
No.
And I'd like to see council write to them again, expressing concern that they haven't done anything to put a flood warning system in the Clyde. The monitors are there. They just need to make the public aware. The River Clyde Trust, we've got monitors now, top of the river, halfway down the river, Bothwell Township, and so we can be measuring in real time what's going on. There's no reason why that can't be accessed. And we only need someone camping along the river and someone's going to get caught. Mm-hmm. There was no, you know, we had 6 mils in Bothwell, effectively no flood, and we still had 1,300 megs come down the river that day because there were 35 megs in Interlaken, and that's crazy stuff. Someone's going to get injured. And I think it's negligence on behalf of the Bureau of Meteorology not to be announcing flood warnings for the Clyde.
Put your hand up if you need to speak, because Councillor Allwright's next. But in saying that, can I just, Councillor Archer speaking, did you put something down there, Adam? Was that to be a motion, Councillor Archer?
I'm happy to move a motion that the Council once again write to the Weather Bureau and request that they include the Clyde River in their flood warnings.
I'll second that.
I wanted to second, yeah. What?
Councillor Cassidy seconded. So what was the motion again, please?
That council write to the Bureau of Meteorology requesting once again that they include the River Clyde in flood warnings.
So that was moved by Councillor Archer, second by Councillor Cassidy. Those for that motion? Is there any against the motion? All good. Now, whilst that's happening, Councillor Allwright, your next up.
Oh, just a comment to Anthony. The lower end of the Ouse, when they, Josie, got the money to clean up the Ouse, it actually stopped. Yeah, and they could not get any more funding.
So this is going upstream or downstream?
No, this is from the on Crocs, on the bottom end. But that's not really, Crocs Place doesn't come along to the Ouse. So this was sort of a...
I am reporting what he told me this morning.
Yeah, so I'm a bit, because it was really what Compass Agri got now, unless he comes back in.
He's just running out of money.
Yeah.
I've got you on the list. Councillor Cassidy, then Bailey.
I know, I'm done.
You're going to Councillor Bailey.
He knows, Tony knows.
You're talking about Croc.
Yeah.
I think Croc, being a member of the country club, is speaking for them too.
Oh, might be.
Well, he told me his paddocks, so...
Yeah, well, his paddocks, yeah.
I didn't know, in fact, he referred to horticulture of some sort of...
Yeah, right, well, it's...
That's something to do with.
Councillor Bailey.
Sorry?
Whiskey distillery gets affected as well, where...
Yeah, so that's the deal, that's not the...
Hang on a minute, please, Councillor Bailey had the thought, and then you can have your turn again.
Where they stopped taking the willows out last year, or the year before last, wasn't it?
Oh, no, it'd be after...
3 years ago.
After the 2017.
It comes right to the top end of the golf course, and this is the reason that it takes the golf course functional. It doesn't go round.
I see.
No, that's all I would say, yeah. When you said about getting a grant, it'd be lovely if we could do it.
Councillor Archer, all right, and Bailey.
Well, I'd just like to reiterate that David Jones told me this morning that his family have had it since 1980, that they've got only half listening to what crops he's grown there, but they've only been affected a few times, but mainly in the last 5 years, and he said it's as a result of debris building up in the Ouse River. I don't know if it's on his farm or the next one over, or wherever.
Someone else's farm.
And it's causing them flooding issues. And, you know, he's just wondering if there's anything council can do to assist, and so as I said, write to us, but also at the same time contact Ian Josie and see where we go from there.
Okay, that's all right.
So Adam sent an email yesterday about help for affected individuals or businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to leverage that for some help to get rid of those willows on the bottom end of the ooze? And that's probably where it's really most affecting now.
Yeah, that would have to be each individual business would have to apply. The council can't apply.
Yeah, I get you.
So it's not a council grant, it's just a business grant, so for local businesses. Yeah. It was only for the north and northwest. It wasn't including Central Islands, then I made them aware. We did have 380 mills at Great Lake, and we have got a notification in to DPAC to say that, you know, we did have flood damage on the 13th and 14th, and that we would be hoping that grants would be made available to local government, but at this stage it hasn't been stated by the Prime Minister or the Premier.
So maybe could go back to Croc if say there's possibility there's some grant money there for respected businesses
forward that email, because it had the email contacts on it. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty, that's good.
Anyway,
Councillor Bowden and then Councillor.
I was looking at some of the excellent photographs on display of Old Bothwell, and one of them was at Ratho Golf Course, and looking up the flat and just seeing a few wattle trees or whatever they were, blackwoods maybe or something up, and it's a shame we couldn't get it back to that. And I look at when you go to town, you look at the excavator cleaning up the Jordan there, and you think, is that funded? And perhaps we can get funding, because that's what Bothwell needs to fix the floods and get rid of the willows.
That flood study will leverage some funding, I reckon, to clean the fly.
Well, it's something that, you know, it's not impossible. It'd be tough, but it's not impossible.
So the similar flood funding, if I can put in there, the similar flood funding that, what is it called? GDH? GHD?
GHD.
So they did one at the Lachlan, a similar study what they're doing here, and that evolved into a $900,000 grant. So my guess is...
That's a long way.
Yeah. No, you go. I reckon it's just start at the top end and come as far as you. But clean down all the 750,000 the government goes. find that out.
Okay, councillor, sorry, councillor Bowden, was you finished?
I was just thinking, I wonder if they've got funding for the APSE, because the excavator's done a lot of work there over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Somebody's paying for it.
I think Paul Gear might have done a fair bit himself.
Okay, councillor Cassidy, and then Honor.
So, two points, perhaps council could contact the property owners along the Clyde to advise them of this possible funding, and what we could do is try to encourage them to remove the willows if they could get grant money for it. The second point that I wanted to make was something that Scott was talking about. I think you were on medical leave when Anita, when I brought the same issue up about the Jordan and APSE and so forth, about the willows.
Yeah.
And she told me that actually it was the landowners who would have funded that themselves.
Paul Gear.
All of that stuff around the Jordan.
Oh, really?
Paul Gear.
That costs a stubby, man.
Down at...
Oh, no, I meant at APSE.
APSE.
Oh, sorry.
All the way down.
Okay, so councillor Honor?
Yep. At the moment, like, yes, there's businesses at the lakes that are impacted because Palatina Road looks like it could be 2 months.
Yeah, or longer.
Before it's open, the log trucks are now coming the other way up from Deloraine. It's the only way they can get to work. And then back up through the Great Lake. Chris White is the one taking all the willows out down at APSE. And he's been doing it now for quite a while.
Really, Chris?
Yeah, because that's his property.
Yeah.
And he's done all the fencing and everything. Yeah.
Good on him.
So, yeah. So I will let the business owners up there know.
No, they might talk.
I think an easy way to do it would be if we could get the Deputy General Manager to place something for us in the digest, perhaps.
Yeah.
That would be...
Because
the old digest is a good way of...
Yeah, we see Palatina Road.
And on the website, yeah.
It's closed from the other side of Arthur's Lake turnoff.
Yeah, so...
Technically it is closed, so no one's meant to go through it, but they do.
They do.
But yes, if anyone... If you put in Palatina on Google, you can actually bring up the drone movie of... the landslide on Palatina.
Okay.
And it is massive.
Mm. Yeah, they had on the news last night. Way bigger than the earlier.
Yeah, but on this it's even a better view.
Yeah.
What site's it on?
Palatina landslide.
Right. You just look that up and it comes up.
Just put in Palatina and it'll come up landslide, and there's a piece down that says about the movie.
Nice.
And load that on and you can see it all.
Wow.
So the council website, the Highland Digest, so perhaps you'd prepare something for us, Adam?
Yeah, no, I've already asked Katrina to pop it on the council website and on Facebook, and we'll include something in the Highland Digest.
Okay.
Do you think race notices would be another method, or would they come out too late?
Too late, I think.
Yeah, a bit late, the newsletter.
Okie dokie. Oh, and whilst mayoral announcements also, whilst the floods was on the Friday, there was a call to me from the Premier, who was in Vietnam, and he was sending his regards to the Central Highlands and asking if we were okay, basically, so that was pretty good. Jeremy
Rock. We're not okay, we need better doctors.
Yeah, I could have sent a great big list. Yeah, but no. Okay, so that was there. We'll go into 11.1, receival draft minutes of the ordinary meeting of 20th September. Councillor Honor moved. Councillor Cassidy second. Those for. Any against? That is carried. 11.2, confirmation draft minutes, ordinary meeting of council, 20th September. Mover, please. Councillor Orr, aye. Councillor Bonner, four. Against, that is carried. Very good. Receival draft planning committee minutes is 11.3. Where's the mover and seconder for that? Oh, here we go. Mover, please.
Yeah.
Councillor Orr, Councillor Bailey, second. Four. Against, that is carried. All good. 13, dual catchment project.
Oh, sorry, did I miss 12? This is arising.
Is it arising?
Oh, I've missed that. Where is that?
On page 6.
Too much paper. I haven't actually got it on here. Oh, yes, I have. Big pain. 12, business arising. Is there any comments with business arising?
It's at 17.12, Mayor. The summary there doesn't capture what we actually discussed. It talks about council only reviewing its public liability buildings and TAS Fire Service. What was actually requested that there be a review of all council brokerage and insurance policies. So it's not just confined to those areas. So there's just the new general managers to get some quotes basically on insurance brokerage and just review that we're getting the best cover and the best value that we can.
So, I go from 16.11 to 17.3, so...
17.12 it is.
Yeah,
under part 12, business arising.
Insurance cover. Thanks,
Yeah, our insurance broker doesn't cover public liability, so...
So...
We're part of the MAD scheme.
So, Councillor Archie, you happy with...
Yes, just that it would be a broad review of all council's insurances, not just confined to those areas that I mentioned.
Okay. Any other comments on business arising? No, all good. 13, Dell Catchment Project, report and mover, please. Councillor Honour. Councillor Orr. Four against. Carried. Would have read the report, no doubt. Any comments on the report?
I just want to... What are members' expenses in the corporate and finance?
Well, we're on the Dell Catchment Report.
Oh, no, sorry. No, probably went to the next one. Sorry.
So any comments for the Dell Catchment Report? No? All righty. 14, finance report, you want to move it to Councillor Bowden?
I don't know what members' expenses are.
Those four against, that is carried. So you would like to know what...
Your allowance.
Members' expenses.
Your allowance? All the councillors' allowances?
Oh, right. Yep. Why isn't it called councillors' allowances or something?
Because there's other expenses, there's travelling and all that, you see. Another expense.
Does members refer to members of council?
Elected members.
Elected members, yeah.
Ah.
Maybe because they're elected members?
No, it's always said members, but if you want to call it elected members, you could be elected members.
I think it might be better.
At least it could be anything otherwise.
Mm. So you need a motion for that?
Finance services. Okay.
That will be called elected members, Councillor Bowden, from here on.
Oh, good, thanks.
Thank you. Any other comments on the finance report?
That elected members' expenses budgeted to significantly increase.
So you go.
Say from, oh, I wonder, what's the actual?
What do you want?
The actual is only 43, so
actual.
The allowance went up.
Balance the budget, I've read it wrong.
Any other questions in regard to that report? All good? All right, 15, development of environmental services in accordance with regulation 21. Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, the Mayor advises that the Council intends to act as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993 to deal with the following items. That the Development and Environmental Services report be received, I have a mover, please. Councillor Cassidy moved, seconded, Councillor Bailey, those four, against, that is carried. And welcome to Louisa. 15.1 is greenhouse and maker shed at the Great Lake. Louisa, any comments?
We received a representation on the development application for the greenhouse and maker's shed. The representator was concerned about potential noise from some of the activities that may be conducted in the maker's shed, mainly metalwork and possibly woodwork. But the property is actually zoned local business, and the hours of operation and the noise standards are within the development standards for that zone. So I didn't find any concerns, neither did the council's environmental health officer. So the conditions in the proposed permit reflect the hours of operation and the noise standard. There's an additional condition in there for some landscape planting just to soften the edge of the maker's shed to the surrounding residential zones.
I'll move the recommendation. Release the recommendation.
Discussion there?
Yes, I'll take the move and second if we give a discussion.
I'll second it, Mayor.
Councillor Allwright moved it. Councillor Bailey seconded. Before I put it to the floor, that was option one, wasn't it?
Option one, that's a recommendation of the planning committee.
It is. Councillor Allwright, did you say you wanted to speak to it?
No, we've had a good discussion, but there's really no comment. We're out of here in 10 minutes, aren't we?
11 minutes.
On Tuesday.
Yeah.
It was 14 minutes.
It wasn't here long.
14, was it?
Yes, you said.
Okay. So there's no discussion, really, and I haven't heard anyone here wanting to talk about it.
Councillor, you had your hand up.
Yeah, just a question, Mayor, in regard to the hours. Obviously, that's construction, and I think that's quite valid that it be confined to those hours. But the ongoing usage of the facility, is that also restricted to those hours?
Yes.
And the question I would have is, can they have activities in there that don't make noise? In other words, are we being too restrictive in terms of, I personally would have a problem with them operating 6 to 10, you know, if there's a demand up there, as long as they keep within the noise code.
Mm-hmm.
So just a clarification that if noise is the issue, and I think they're 100 metres from the nearest building anyway. 60 is a fair way away. I wouldn't like to see, you know, what is going to be a significant investment curtailed if they undertake to just not undertake noisy activities after 6 o'clock.
Who'd monitor it?
Big money. Well, if there's a complaint, we just say, well, hang on, you haven't complied.
Yeah, that's right.
This is for Louisa to respond to Councillor Archer.
Yeah, that's a good idea, I think.
Look at the hours of operation, which is in the conditions, it's condition four, is Monday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday and statewide public holidays, 9 till 5.
I thought Sunday wasn't allowed to be noise until 10 o'clock.
This is what is in the, so these hours of operation are in the planning scheme.
Yeah, where did I get that? Because machinery is not to be till 10 o'clock. That is a rule. Where did I get that from? Adam, help me.
I said, no, you're not allowed to use your lawnmower until 10 on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
No, that's
on the EPA website, isn't it?
I'm very...
It's an overall rule, Jason. No noise until 10 o'clock Sunday. Do you know where that comes from?
There is a Noise Act,
Noise Act,
but I think that It also depends on the decibel bell on the machine, so it comes down to decibels.
Yeah, lawn mowers and those sorts of things under the environment.
Lawn mowers.
Yeah.
EPA.
I don't know if it was 10 o'clock Sunday though.
No, I thought it was 9.
Yeah, I think it might be something like that.
I thought it was 10.
But Bev would be the person to ask on that.
Okay.
And I'm very encouraged with that change, or what you've done there, Louisa, that's good. Now, people can obviously, 9 o'clock, most people would be happy that they can be using this facility till then. What time can they start again?
7 a.m. Monday to Saturday.
Yeah, that seems quite reasonable, really. No, I don't think there's any need to amend it.
No,
okay.
That's good.
As long as we don't breach any noise act.
Well, the thing with noise is it's a continuous. It's measured. Is it measured over 15 minutes?
I'm not sure. I've never really had anything to do with it. Yeah.
So just make sure, you know, doing any metal work, stop after 15 minutes.
Yeah, you're right. So Councillor Allwright moved the recommendation, Councillor Bailey seconded. I'll put it for the vote. Those four. Is there any against? That is carried. Very good. Thank you, Louisa. Anything else while we have Louisa on board?
We could probably go to item number 16.3 if councillors are okay with that, which will be the steps.
So I have a mover to move to 16.3. Councillor Cassidy a seconder to move to 16.3. Councillor Bailey, those four against carry. Councillor Honour has left the room because she has pecuniary interest. This is the Steps Hall. And just for your information before we start this, Warren and his mother have been speaking with me this morning, as is Paul Ellis, speaking about the Radiata pine trees, and very concerned at the danger that's damaging the Steps Church Hall with roots going underneath. It is a weed, it is not native, and for your information, this is a Radiata pine. It's come from Glen Elk. Andrew Downey gave me this to do artwork with. And this is Macrocarpa, came from up round Tea Tree Way. Just to give you an idea of the different woods, if anyone's interested. So I will open it for discussion. The Steps Hall Committee have permission by the landowner to remove the trees. Council own the church ground. This is necessary. I have been told that it's due to the roots going under the hall, which is a huge problem. And in this also we discuss the boundary fence replacement. So I'll give everyone a turn around the table. It's not for a debate for councillors to speak several times. I will give you an opportunity to speak once. The Works and Services Manager, did you want to speak first or wait till councillors speak?
I don't have any concern if I speak now.
Well, let councillors speak. So I'll go around the table. Councillor
Wright. Yeah, well, obviously the committee think they're a nuisance and I'm going to come here, but I was only going to suggest maybe, I don't know how much it costs, Jason, that I'll make the carve, like you cut the stump up high and you can carve a sort of, like some people carve bits of like a bullet drive or something like that.
They carve seats too, nice seats.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea.
Carve something, yeah. I know it's a bit extra expense, but it'd be nice to sort of have something there.
You'll still have a bit, yeah.
I'll say, they do the chainsaw carving, have you seen those? Calvin
Tripper
yeah.
does seats, I know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. So either carve a seat out of it or, I've seen them up the northeast. At Scottsdale where they've carved some loggers out of them. Yeah. Anyway, just take it in mind.
Mate, I should say first, I mean, obviously the request comes through from the statutory committee in regards to the removal of the blind post. And
have you seen this?
Yes, and I agree with some of the statements in the supplementary agenda item from Councillor Cassidy. Yeah, the trees are probably not, they're in good health, don't dispute that. One, the furthest away from the hall does have quite a bit of dead wood, but I suppose it's for the future preservation of the hall. You know, they are an environmental weed, they're not a native tree. There is minimal roots that are causing damage to the hall at the moment, very minimal. I agree with Councillor Cassidy on that. Causing damage to probably the out building, the toilet block, more so than the hall at this stage. The roots are going under the existing fence, and I suppose for the installation of a new fence, that may be an issue with uplifting of the new fence. It's not. It's also, you know, I mean, it's easier to manage them now than in 10 or 15 years when they may have to be removed, and they will cause issues to the hall at some stage in the future. There's no doubt that, but just the location to the hall. Yeah, I was aware that the hall was heritage, not that the actual boundary, the whole boundary with the trees on it was also heritage. That's fine. I mean, if council decide to remove them, then we go through the appropriate process and put a DA and an application in heritage for the removal of them on the grounds of why we believe so. Yeah, I know. I mean, the cost, it's not a huge cost to remove them. Our guys internally can fall the trees. We're trained and qualified to do so. We wouldn't be grinding the stumps. We'd either cut them off low to the ground or maybe do something out of them as a recommendation. Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I support the recommendation because of the request from the hall committee, who was all on board with that. I believe there's probably only maybe four or five committee members left, but they've done all the previous work up there and maintenance to the hall. So, yeah.
Thank you, Dad. I'll continue around the table and then we'll come to some decision. Councillor Archer, any comments?
Yeah, well, I'm interested in what Robert's discovered there, really. That normally I'd be saying, look, we need to get an arborist to look at this, but they are right out of pine. What's not clear in my mind is, are they on council land or the Ellis family land? The way council. I'm reading it is...
Council land.
They're clearly on council land, aren't they? Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And there's one on Ellis's, isn't there? They're cutting those down too.
Yeah.
But that's nothing to
do with that.
Councillor Bowden.
Yeah. I know pine trees are terrible things to have near a house, so yeah, good idea.
Councillor Cassidy, you've done a lot of homework on this. Thank you for that. Yeah. Thank you for the photos, etc. Now it's your turn to speak.
Well, you have the supplementary before you. I don't know if everybody's had a chance to read it. First of all, I must state that I have talked to one of the Steps Hall committee members, and they are not in agreement with the rest of the committee on this issue. I went up there yesterday, left about 3 o'clock, didn't get back until 5, and then worked on this. The bullet points that I have made there, and if you look at the photographs, you can see that the trees are not anywhere close to the building, and they're not overhanging the building whatsoever, and I'm not an arborist, but they're no threat or nuisance to the building, and I would expect probably in 50 years they would not be. The only exposed roots are of the one tree, and they radiate actually in the opposite direction toward the south and toward the fence away from Steps Hall. The rest of it is down low and underground and sloping beneath the building. contrary to what's in the agenda item, the gutters and downspouts they're better than what I have in my own house. They show no signs of rust. In fact, they look new to me. And the downpipes are made of plastic. They won't rust. There's two rainwater tanks. The one that I looked at, the lid is caved in, I'm not sure exactly why, but the tank is actually concrete lined. What I would suggest is that if they continue, if they want to continue using it, that be cleaned out and then another cover put back on it, and that tank should be saved. Insofar as the gutters and so forth, I've put you know, ember, anti-ember, bushfire type of screening on my gutters, and that keeps the leaves and pine needles out. I've had pine trees, red edda, and other around my house in the past, and they've never been a problem in the 13 and a half years I've been here in Bothwell. I got on my hands and knees and I looked under the building. I see no evidence of the roots impinging on the building. The building itself sits on rotting pilings, which they will have to be replaced at some stage with probably concrete pilings. If there are any roots impinging on the underside of the building, they should be addressed when the flooring is removed to install the new pilings. In any case, roots can be merely cut off without damaging the tree itself. From the photos, and I've provided quite a number of photos, again, you can see that the trees are very well clear of the buildings and all, or the hall in all directions. There's none, no branches whatsoever that overhang or come close to the building. And again, I'm not an arborist. I've planted a few trees in my lifetime. The trees appear to be healthy, and there's actually a new growth, and they look like the start of pine cones on the ends of the trees, which suggests that the trees are not dehydrated or in poor health at all. The fencing behind the tree is well away from the trees, and even someone like myself without farming background would be able to construct a fence clear of the tree and clear of the roots without interfering with the fence in the future. Looking forward to Ellis property, I believe it is. I only saw one radiator pine. I would estimate that was about 50 feet away from the fence. And if Ellis or the landowner wants to chop that tree down, I mean, even though you must recognize that, you know, all the flooding that we've had within the state and the bushfires, it's one cause, climate change. If he wants to cut down trees, it should be on his conscience then.
Well, let's
the toilet block.
Focus on what we're talking about.
I'm focused. The toilet block would be cheaper to relocate than cutting down the tree and grinding the stumps to a level ground. But I do not believe the condition of the toilet block warrants removal of the trees. The entire site, building, the grounds, the plants, I confirmed yesterday with a call back from the Tasmania Heritage that it's all heritage listed. They sent an overlay, and it's in an email that was sent to you guys, to the council members, and to Adam and the mayor. And I have to say, if councilors have not been up to the steps hall in a while and actually seen it themselves, then you merely accept what other people claim is factual. And when none of the assertions can be supported from what I've personally observed, seen, and photographed, I think removing these two healthy trees would be an egregious effect on the heritage value. The visual amenity certainly would be degraded, and the tourism value of the site. While I was there, there was actually man and his wife who arrived in
and
a
you
caravan.
Can you cover a bit short of post, Councillor?
When I arrived at the steps to photograph it, a man and his wife arrived from the northeastern part of Tasmania and had viewed the grounds and had commented how lovely the site is. And why would we want to damage that or degrade that at the ratepayer expense and then detriment to the site?
Okay, that is good. Thank you. I'll
I wasn't finished, but it's okay.
Well, you have had quite quite a time. I've been very lenient.
All right. I just want to point out the information that's.
Then make it short, please, because you've had ample time.
Anyway, all the information is here. The photographs are here. And you can quite clearly see the point that I need to make is that the statements that were here or made here are just, they're not correct. They're not accurate at all.
Thank you. All right, I'll let Councillor Bailey speak, then I'll bring the recommendation forward. Councillor Bailey, do you have any comments?
One, are the trees heritage listed? Well, they're on it.
Not a pine tree, they wouldn't let heritage listed.
I think Louise has answered this.
So with the heritage listing, it's whole title. So it's not just the building, it's everything within the property.
Okay.
So yes, if the trees are within the property, yes they are.
So to remove the trees, we've got to go to the heritage.
That's what Works and Services said, they would go through the appropriate.
Yeah.
And if I could continue, Mayor, I believe that Heritage Tasmania will require some information to determine whether the trees are causing damage or that they may cause damage to the building, to the structure of the building.
So we need an arborist.
This is what I thought. So maybe we can't go and just go in and pull them until we get, confirmation from them.
It was.
Big Ben.
Jason already said he was going to go and talk to the heritage people.
Yes. So with the recommendation.
Which is good.
I shall put that forward.
Mayor, can I make a quick comment?
Yes.
I was on the board of Warmers at Longford and we had a convict built. A fence, 6 foot high, brick, convict built fence. There were MacArthur limbs falling across and damaging it. And we had an arborist from Launceston come in and look at it. He said, yes, you know, those limbs need to come out, it's not safe. And we had an absolute nightmare trying to get permission to remove these MacArthurs, which were smashing up the convict fence. The convict built fence. It was not black and white at all. It was a nightmare. So having been in that position, I think we do need to be mindful of what Jason's saying and really go to the correct channels if there is a desire in the room to see them removed. It ended up very expensive. I think it cost us a fortune.
All right. So I'll put the recommendation up and it can either be amended or lost. So we can go from there. It'll either go through or it won't. And the recommendation that we've been given is that council form the team.
So have you had a mover, Mayor?
Not yet.
And that would start the process that Jason will go to.
So we'll go from here. You've moved it that council fall the two radiator pine trees located at the Steps Hall. Did I have a seconder for that?
Yes.
Councillor Bowden. Now I'll record and go around the table who's for and against this recommendation. So we'll go for is obviously Councillor Allwright. For or against Councillor Archer?
No, I'm against the motion as it stands, Mayor. I think we need to get advice from the Heritage Commission on what the requirements will be before we agree to fall.
Yeah, but that motion will start the process.
Absolutely. I understand.
Well, the words should be there.
Just a moment, please. Let's get this clear. So you're for or against the recommendation?
I'm against the motion as it's put.
As it's put. Councillor Bowden?
Yeah, well, I'm assuming that's how it's going to go, so I think I'm for it. I know what a problem pine trees are, and the fact that Mr. Cassidy looked in the gutter doesn't mean they weren't cleaned out the day before, for example. So I'm sure the people who run the show wouldn't recommend it if they didn't think it needed doing.
Okay. Now, Councillor Cassidy, you're obviously against.
I'm absolutely against it because it's wrong, and the evidence is right here.
Thank you. Councillor Bailey, are you for the recommendation or are you against?
Yeah, well, I'm for it, but we need to get, as Jason's going to do, go and see the heritage
people and get, yes, we've got to go through that.
Well, that would be the process, it would go straight to...
Just like when we get heritage people, we need to get an arborist, we need to get somebody to look at the building itself.
We need to do it.
Well, that's Jason's job.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure he would fulfil it. And the only person to vote is myself, and I believe, from what I've seen with pine trees in the past, I am for removal. So it is 1, 2, 3, 4 to 2, so it's lost, go through. So council form the 2 radiated pine trees located Steps Hall. Jason will do the...
I'll put an application into the Heritage Council with what supporting evidence that they require. If that requires an arborist to get a report on the trees and a risk assessment on the future damage that it may cause to the hall, then that's what it'll be. If it's a structural engineer report, then that's what it'll be. I'll put all that supporting documentation to the application to the Heritage Council, and then bring it back to council with what they recommend. They may come back to council and say that, we're not content in what you've provided, and they will remain. And they say that the evidence that's been provided is good, and that we can remove the trees.
Yeah,
so the appropriate reports will be undertaken to support the application, all the information that's required.
Thank you. Councillor Cassidy.
I want to state for a fact you should not be removing healthy trees during climate change. We've got flooding and bushfires, and this is heritage listed, and you're going to reduce the amenity of the entire property. It's wrong.
Thank you. All right then, can I have a... I need to get Councillor Honour back in.
Would you mind, is that...
Thank you, Louise.
Just on that, I wasn't aware that all the committee was not, you know, grants. The information I got was that the whole committee was in grants. So we'll have to get a supporting letter from the committee in regards to it as well.
Well, that's something, when we get Councillor Honour back in, we'll do that now. Before I move the agenda again.
Just while you're finding the agenda, Mayor, another issue we had when I was on the Women's Board was we had a garage we wanted to turn into a servant's kitchen.
Yeah.
This just shows the extent of how these people think. And so we weren't allowed to put a concrete washable slab. We had to go back with a timber floor again.
Yeah.
And so we met all the requirements. We put the sealed timber floor back in, and then they complained because we hadn't put a bar on the floor.
Oh.
The joist had given, so the floor had a bow in it, and we put a level floor back as it would have been when it was built, and they came onto us because we didn't put a bow back on the floor. Now, it's just crazy stuff. The requirements are not realistic, I would say.
Not realistic. So thank you, Councillor Honour, and we have the Works and Services Manager would like to make a comment about what we need to do committee-wise, is that correct?
Oh, well, just part of the process to put an application into the Heritage Council for the removal of the trees. I said we'll have to provide all the information, but the information that I was provided prior to the meeting was that everyone from the Steps Hall Committee was in agreement, and then Councillor Cassidy's also mentioned that not everyone is in agreement with the removal of the trees. So we will need, I suppose, supporting documentation from the committee to state that which they exactly want, because that's confusing information from what I've received.
Yes. So can you organise that? What position are you on the committee?
I'm just a committee member.
Okay. Who's the president of that committee?
Jeff Glover, I think. RN secretary, Marlene's treasurer.
So I think we should write to the committee from council.
That's
the way to go. Could you please organise that?
Jason will send
an email. Yeah, if you just send it to
Irene,
and she'll contact the committee anyway.
Okay, now, back to agenda item, where are we?
15.2.
I have a mover back to agenda item. Councillor Cassidy, seconder. Councillor Bailey. 15.2, invitation to comment on the draft as planning policies, the TPPSs, for your information. Anything there, Adam?
No, just that it's noted.
Okay.
I think Damien was going to put something together into this
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Damien and Louise will.
That's correct.
It says in the notes that Damien's going to.
Yeah.
Oh, for the November meeting, here it is, yeah. So Damien and Louise are putting something as a mission.
Oh, they're going to put a submission to it, which basically, as far as I'm aware, just covers off on the discussion points that we've had.
Yeah, and that's coming to the planning committee meeting in November and.
Must be.
That's what it's saying here.
Must be, yeah.
And the council meeting in November.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that what you meant, Kathy?
When do they want the?
19th.
It closes on the 1st of November, so they've got to have it in by the 1st of November, next week, or a couple of weeks and a half.
Didn't we get an extension or something on that?
That concludes the extension, but it's our subject to.
Can that be checked with Damien then? We need to know what's happening here, don't we? If we're not going to.
Yes, I said here, so they're going to prepare a submission.
Yeah.
So the extension must be after.
After that date.
Yeah, after that date, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll find out more next meeting.
Yeah. So we clear with that one?
Yeah.
All righty, 53, landfill levy update. That's also for your information, any questions there?
There was a grant involved in that, isn't there?
Is there, Adam?
Yeah, we got a grant to undertake, get some hardware and software and do some training.
But we still pay the $2,000 a month or whatever it is?
Yeah, we'll pay the $2,000 forever and a day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that'll just increase, it's the volume increase, unless we can start to reduce the amount of volume going into the transfer station. And our tip.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. 15.4, DS briefing report. One dog was impounded during the last month, released to the owner. Yep. All righty, anything else before we go into works and services? Nothing else? Very good. Could I move her into works and services, please? Yeah. Councillor Honour, Councillor Bailey, four. Okay, three. You have the works and services in front of you. Jason, do you have any information update on the floods and any damage to the footbridge, which is
What damages were caused in the recent floods? So we had the Ouse Park at Ouse, the footbridge that runs alongside the main bridge there over the river. It's not a council asset, but just for council information, will be out for some time ago. So that's destroyed. There's surface repair with gravel and some bollards and handrails, minor things like that at the Ouse Park that we'll need to reinstate and repair. The Bashan Bridge at Wanamata, so the concrete forward. So we've had quite a bit of river silt left on the road on both sides of the forward, which will involve contractors carting it away, 2 or 3 days out of an excavator and truck carting that away and repair the approaches. The swing.
In the same area where you had trouble before?
No, different, yeah. In the large flood in 2016, it did have some debris and that will need to be moved away. The swinging bridge, that's also not what we do technically own it, like I brought the council's attention a couple of months ago. So technically the council do own the swinging bridge, but the responsibility, the maintenance and the renewal of it is the state government. So that is closed at the moment because there's been one approach on the western side wash away altogether. So, and I'm unsure, I haven't heard from the engineers yet from the state government whether or not there's any structural damage, but I know that the engineers were up there yesterday, so they'll do an assessment and probably give council some feedback directly. So if the water resides enough, we'll have the concrete forward open in a couple of days for traffic to go through if the water resides. And then there'll be, I know Cranks Bay, Haulage Hill, Arthur's Lake, Marks Bay, we had some water right the road that took some of the running surface and blocked culverts, and so there'll be a little bit of, it'll probably be a couple of weeks just in sheet material, brushing up some roads and unblocking some culverts.
And is it worth looking at getting contractors to do that so we can claim?
Yeah, so we have already, the general manager has spoke to me in regards to that, and we have, we've got some contractors on the bashing. We've had a look to see if how much is actually damaged in the high country, so at this stage it's only a couple of roads, so we'll probably just do that internally. To get a grader and a truck and a contractor, maybe it will be just too difficult for availability. So, but at the moment we've actually stopped because of the rain that's forecast again for Saturday, Sunday and Monday, so we're just making everything safe, not putting any material on at this stage because we don't want to be spending, you know, $15,000 worth of putting of gravel on the road and then we're going to be back on the same boat early next week. So just trying to make them safe and get some drainage and culverts open and then wait to see what next week brings.
Thanks very much, Jason. And with the road, Hollow Tree Road, what's happening there?
So that's the stabilisation works that Andrew Royal Construction are doing, so they're just reclaiming the road and the lawn stabilising. Yeah, so it's three sections.
You know the piece we had, well, we did, the piece that gave trouble last year with the floods at Wanamana, you know, the road, all that up the hill and to the...
Yeah, no, yeah.
How did that stand up?
Good.
Good?
Good, yep.
That's good.
Yep. So that's, yeah, no, that's all good, yeah.
Councillor Cassidy.
I guess I'm
good. Really good.
Yeah, I was going to say that Arthur's Crescent, this water's come across the road and has impinged upon the bitumen, has actually taken it up in not exactly the center section, but pretty close and opposite the of the new drain.
Yep. Yeah, no, I did say a small section when I last got through there. I've been through there since the water's beside it completely. But yeah, I mean, and that's just a maintenance issue that we'll need to repair. Once again, we'll hold off until the next rain event's over, so we're not doing the same thing again.
Councillor Wright.
Jason, state roads have a bit of trouble with that footbridge, don't they?
No, do you?
They've only been up 18 months or so, isn't it?
I mean, the amount of times it's been repaired in the last, you know, 10 years.
Is there a way we could write to them or try and make them bolt it on the side? Well,
that's what...
Yeah, you know, get it up higher.
Mm. Mm. It's the same as our lighting. Hasn't got a head yet.
No.
You look at the forecast, Mayor, for Friday, it's a 90% chance of 1 to 5, Saturday 95% chance of 5 to 10, Sunday 95% chance of 5 to 20, and Monday 90% chance of 5 to 20.
Is that
not could be an issue, yeah.
And we received notification at 7 o'clock last night that the Department of Prime Minister releasing something like 400 millilitres a day between Lake Sorrel and Lake Crescent, which is all coming straight into Clyde because they've already got Lake Crescent spilling, and they're going to release an additional 200 megalitres today. So there'll be 600 megalitres coming into the Clyde. Mount Lane goes underwater at about 520 metres. So,
wow.
So you know, the manufacturing a flood over Mount Lane that'll arrive later this afternoon.
Okay. And while we're here, I'd like to have it recorded as well and commend Jason, the Works and Services Manager, with his two roles he had, as well as emergency, what's the title for that, emergency?
Coordinator
as well, and he was totally exhausted by Friday evening, as well as helping to coordinate the bicentennial. So it was a massive job, and well done to you, Jason, and your staff.
Yeah, it was trying times. It was difficult, but I was tired. Yes, it was, and yeah, it was a team effort. It was everyone involved, Barry and Adam. All the girls at the bicentennial. Yeah, the bicentennial was unfortunately just at a long time before the rain. But, you know, we got through, so. And so far, you know, not too bad, really, compared to other municipalities with damage. So.
And we will have a morning tea. I was speaking with Adam earlier, the Acting General Manager, and to show our gratitude, and we'll also invite some of the bicentennial volunteers, I think, would be nice to recognise people. I'm sure council would be in agreement to something like that. 16.1 is preparing Australian Communities Program grant. Over you, Adam.
It's just the update of the report that's in the agenda.
Okay, the recommendation is that council receive the monthly project report for September from GHD for the River Clyde flooding mapping study. Move it, please. Councillor Allwright, Councillor, oops, Councillor Allwright, Councillor Honour, those four. Any against? That is carried. Thanking you. 6.2, playground replacement. Jason, do you want to speak to this one?
As per all the recommendations, so there's, I mean, those were just my opinions.
Okay. Somebody's got to have one.
Queen's Park option one, as you, I suppose, just to point out that these are all grant funded, that is play equipment. So, Queen's Park, the first one, there's my recommendations. I had recommendation two or four, I couldn't choose. So I'm open to suggestion for Queen's Park.
Queen's Park two or four? What about
need a bunch of kids.
Yeah. Sorry, that's five is the other option. Sorry, Councillor Bowden. Option five was, it's two or five.
Two or five, you said?
Yeah, that was just my opinion.
I like five myself.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looks strong and sturdy. What do councillors think?
Yeah, I think five gives them a bit more to do.
Yep.
We'll go with five. Is everyone happy for five? Any comments across the table, around the table?
I like the option four.
You like four?
Yeah, I was just watching the kids at the weekend in that tunnelly thing. They're having a great time, those little kids.
I just thought that was a bit bare.
They were three.
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit bare myself.
We can't have both, can we?
No, not for the price of it.
It's between four and five, so round the table for five. Yes or no to five, Councillor Allwright?
Jason said to accept that option two or four.
Oh,
so we'd move to five.
Five.
Yeah,
five.
Okay.
Or four.
You're likely to have younger kids than me, mine.
No, I'm not, but anyway.
Yeah. You know who'd like more younger kids. Yeah. So I'll go five, whatever.
Okay, Councillor Archer.
I don't know. Anything.
Probably too. I like the idea of, you know, there's a slide in it, whereas in the other one it looks like just a climbing thing.
Is that a five?
That's an option for option two.
So, yeah.
So we've got two, five and four. Councillor Bowden, two, five or four for Queen's Park.
I'd like to have my group of kids here to advise me whether.
I really like the Ellendale option one.
Hang on, don't confuse them there. Two, five or four we go for?
Option two.
I like five.
Okay. Councillor Bonner?
Option five.
Councillor Cassidy?
I think there are two, yeah, because it's got slides. Yeah.
Councillor Bailey?
Yeah, I'm going for five.
Okay, so we've got what? And I went for five. One, two, three, four, five for five. And two for two.
It's hard to say, isn't it?
Right. So it's five for Queen's Park. Now we're going to Bronte. Option one for Bronte, where are we? That's quite sophisticated, isn't it? It's nice.
The Bronte one, yeah.
Yeah, I like the Bronte one. Anyone against the Bronte one?
No.
Which one? Which option?
Option one.
Yeah, that's good, though.
Okay, we happy with option one for Bronte?
Yeah.
Again, I liked option two there, but option one's good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah,
two. Ellendale, option one again?
Yeah. That was in conjunction with the, if you remember some meetings ago, that where the residents from Ellendale did come to council.
Yeah.
And Councillor Cassidy approved their request for the monkey bars that they wished to have installed, but then we found out that they weren't commercial rated. So I went back to them with this, so they were content with that option.
They were with which
option? Option one.
Were they right?
Yeah.
So are you happy with option one for Ellendale?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Queen's Park's option 5, Bronte's option 1, Ellendale's option 1.
Yep.
Yep. So could I move, please? Councillor Cassidy and seconder, Councillor Honour, those 4. Is there any against? That is carried, that is good. Brilliant. So very nice.
Mm. We might see you out there.
Oh, definitely. You will. Alrighty. Now we'll move to...
That's it for me, yeah?
Yep.
Thank you, James.
No, thank you.
Now we'll move to administration 17.
Unless you want to stay for the war memorial.
There's extra flagpole.
Extra flagpole.
Just in case
I need
to. Well, Jason might stop for this. Can we ask for...
That's all right, I can keep waiting. You wait for it.
Have you got long, Jason?
Yeah, no, I'm fine.
Because I'd like you to be here for Bushfest as well.
Yep,
okay. 17 is administration. 17.1, remissions under delegation and mover, please. Councillor Honour, Councillor Cassidy, those 4. Against, that is carried.
Would that just be a penalty or something, isn't it? So,
doesn't
seem like it. 17.2, Central Highlands Council annual report. Mover, please. You would have read the report. I've got it back to 5 pages instead of 7 this time, Councillor Orr.
Yeah, I'll move that we adopt it. we get to formally adopt it.
In December.
In December.
Yep, December maybe.
Who seconded that? Councillor? Oh, I don't know whether it was Bailey. Bailey?
I think so.
Moved by Councillor Orr, second by Councillor Bailey, 4. Against, carried. Okey-dokey. Fenton War Memorial, Stephen Fresnick, chairperson of Bush Watch, West Away and Upper Dillon Valley, has written to the general manager asking for a third flagpole. I don't have a problem with it. Is anyone else?
I'll move that.
Moved by Councillor Orr.
Moved by the last two.
I'll say that.
Did it?
Where the council did that.
Brilliant. moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Bailey. 4, against, carried. Very good. 17.4, community grant, cricket. Now, I think they were requesting 2,500. I had it in my brain that often we gave about half. When a grant come through, like, that would mean we'd give them roughly 1,250.
Careful,
all right, can you
recall? Yeah, so I'll talk a little at another level, which is Jason wanted to, you know, I didn't know about this one, but Hall Committee was struggling a bit. The Golf Museum there has been paid volunteers to some people money. We've got actually quite a generous community grants program, which I think we probably should promote a bit more. So I'd actually be happy to go, you know, a bit higher than the half. So I'd just move that we donate $1,500.
$1,500,
yeah.
I'll try that to the table.
They all struggle with these community clubs. And we've got that community grant program. It's really undersubscribed.
So it's... moved by Councillor Orr, second by Councillor Bailey, that Council donate $1,500 towards a junior uniform for Gretna Cricket Club. Anyone against? 4. And there's no one against.
Can I just make another comment while I'm on the cricket club? Jason, I ran into a bloke by the name of Shaw. He's a secretary down there. Anyway, he says that they're struggling a bit with volunteers, but for next year, in the lead up to the cricket season, whether maybe get some council help to do the outside of the ground. When the grass gets a bit long, they've got the gear to do it. That mower they got from us is more like a finishing mower for the thing, so they've got to get in there with their own little lawn mowers and things. But he's suggesting probably a couple of times a year, this time, early on in the, before the cricket season starts, just for where the, you know, where the car parking is and back in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a council ground.
Well, I know, but so they have been doing just like any other community group that's struggling.
Yep.
Alrighty. 17.5, this Highlands Bush Fest laser tag. Katrina, did you want to say anything about it?
No, I'm just mainly here in case councillors had any questions or wanted.
I think it's a marvellous idea. It's something new and different, and it'd be good for our more of our teenage age group, wouldn't it?
It is. Oh, well, it could be for any age. The reason why I brought it to council is that we don't allow inflatable devices, as in jumping castles or resort balls, where these are individual smaller items that are strapped down. It's not something a child gets in, it's not something a child gets on, it's simply there to hide behind.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep.
Councillor Bowden, Honour and Cassidy.
On the jumping castles, I just wonder whether, because they were a good thing, but that was a shocking thing that happened. Is it possible that they can be, I don't know how that thing was pegged down, but I suspect not very well. Could they be new regulations of how they have to be pegged down, for example, and then still allowed, rather than...
So council's never had jumping castles whilst Lynn was the general manager here, because it's something she didn't allow. But laser tag is completely separate.
Yeah, I mean, I like the laser tag, I just think...
Maybe it's only a controversial decision if we do allow it.
Well, the thing is, I don't think there's a problem because council prohibited the use of jumping castles because they can be airborne, so to speak, but the laser tag is a different thing, as Katrina just said.
Yeah.
It's not a floating thing that should go up in the air, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
So it is a different thing. Honour then Cassidy.
Even like their walls that you can see in the pictures, they're individual items that are placed.
Yeah. Councillor Honour then Cassidy.
Yeah, now I'd like to move the recommendation that we have them for the simple reason is they're not jumping castles. Kids aren't on them.
Yeah, and it's not anything to do with the decision council made in regard to prohibiting jumping castles and land-borne inflatable devices. So, yes, I've got you as a mover.
I'll second it, mate.
Okay, and I'll go to Councillor Cassidy.
Is there any point now that it's passed?
I haven't put it to the floor yet, Councillor, thank you.
I have a good question for Katrina. Are these safe for, the eyes? Because let's say, for example, it's always been in the media about folks pointing lasers at aircraft, and it harms the pilot's eyes and so forth. Like in police helicopters and so forth, when they fly over various neighborhoods, they shine lasers at them. And so I wanted to find out: are these certified as being eye safe?
I would believe so, and they wouldn't operate if they weren't.
They're probably their glasses, do they, or not?
They've got glasses on in the photos.
And if they take the glasses off...
It's only something that hits the vest, and then the vest will light up.
Yeah, but,
I'm guessing it'd only be a small...
It's conceivable, though, that the lasers could be pointed at somebody's eyes when they're not wearing the eyeglasses, and, it could. I don't know the type of laser. I don't know if it's a red laser, green laser, or the strength, of the laser, but I think, before we just jump all over this, I think we should at least ask for some information.
I have copied in the report the details that are on their website and information that they also sent through. It's only like a 15-20 minute game and it's rotated quite regularly.
Can you get a box of cheapo sunglasses you put on just to guard the eyes? You know, those ones you buy, cheapos. And each child can be given that eyewear, so that would resolve that problem, I think. Can you do that?
As long as they're worn consistently, the only...
Well, that would be...
That would be managing under the instruction of the operator, if that's a requirement.
It only takes them once. The laser hitting the retina once.
Yeah, I mean, they've been to Bushfest previously, but that was under the previous committee of Bushfest.
So, Councillor Honours moved and Councillor Bailey second that council allow the attendance of laser tag at the 2022 Highlands Bushfest, and we should add to that, how do we add that, Adam?
That all safety aspects are covered.
That's all safety aspects.
Provide participants wear glass, safety glasses.
I think that sounds good, Adam. Go with that. Happy with that, Councillor Honour and Bailey?
Yep.
Councillor Cassidy?
Wouldn't you just go on the recommendation of the operator rather than have our own recommendation over the top of it, because the operator might block that idea if it's not a requirement.
I think if we leave it as is, and it's up to Katrina to talk to the operator.
Yeah.
And I think they only work so many feet.
Well, that's what I was...
So many metres.
They have a short distance.
Yeah, they've only got a short distance.
Yeah. And then what about kids who wear glasses?
They wear the goggles, some of them.
Goggles?
Yeah.
Councillor Cassidy.
An old adage in the army was CYA, cover your ass, okay? So, I think it's incumbent upon council to cover their assets.
If we harm a
child, we blind them, or an adult, or whoever's playing them, you know, we cause eye damage, we'd be responsible. I just want to find out for a fact if it's safe. If it's safe for the eyes, then I've got no problem, but if it's not... So this decision ought to be deferred until we get the information.
Well, just made subject to...
There's got a comment here, safety and accreditation.
It says...
Well, obviously they're not going to accreditate.
They do operate a lot in the Delt Valley, under Delt Valley Council as well.
But they may not have anybody on the council that's aware of this situation with the lasers impacting, you know, let's say like helicopter pilots. You know, they're at least a thousand feet in the air, and this laser, you know, or let's say aircraft on approach, you know, 1,000 feet in the air, and they're shining lasers in the pilot's eyes.
I wouldn't have thought that would.
And you know, the glass on those aircraft, let's say like a jet, it's laminated, it's at least that thick, and if it still affects them.
Okay, so I think...
I can see it's Mayor Cockings and Flack with the safe firearms people. If it does, we'll just review it, I guess.
Yeah, thank you. So the motion is that council allow attendance of the laser tag at the 2022 Highlands Bushfest. What was the other bit, Adam, with glasses?
Provided participants wear safety glasses if required by the by laser tag, I guess.
Okay. All right. So
our school's been to it.
Yeah,
the older school kids absolutely love it.
Okay, so it was moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Bailey. Those for the recommendation, is there anyone against the recommendation? Councillor Cassidy is against. Okay, so it goes through with Councillor Cassidy against. Thank you. Whilst you're there, Katrina, how are things going? A bit of an update on Bushfest.
Well, I did plan on actually going through everything, but unfortunately we had an illness in the family that I haven't been to work the last couple of days. Everything's going along smooth. Everything's within budget at the moment, and I'm still getting applications. So, yeah.
So So they're moving along as quick as it normally does.
Yeah.
And is there many stalls up to date yet, or they all start coming in at last?
I'm hoping that I'll get probably another half a dozen after the event that was at my state arena at the weekend. There may be a bit of a talk there that Bushfest is happening, but yeah, certainly. And we had programs, a little flyer in the programs at the weekend.
I was passing them out, yes.
That got word of mouth out and about as well.
It did, very good.
And our news campaigns be underway soon?
Yes, that'll start, I think it's a week prior to Bushfest.
Okay.
So that'll be on the radio station. We've also locked in 7HO for the Saturday, so they'll also start the week before as well.
And is Mr. Orsfield going to be the MC?
Yes.
Yes. Good, he's very good. Okie dokie, well, that is all good in that area. I think any questions for Katrina before
we go? What weekend is it again?
The 19th and 20th.
It's not a long way away.
No.
19th and 20th. All right, thanks for that, Katrina. All good. Anything else for Jason before we let him out the door, quick?
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Katrina.
Okay. Rightio, with the supplementary.
That was only for information.
That was done. So we've done that one. Okie dokie. Is there any other business before I close the meeting?
No, that was a.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
One little thing.
Yes.
Toilet seats, no?
Toilet seats. Yeah. So friends of mine were staying, came down for the weekend, and embarrassingly, they have to sit on stainless steel still. And I've been to multiple. Not multiple, but I've been to other public toilets. Not that I go to all public toilets, but I go there for a look sometimes.
That's
like Orford and places like that, Tribunner, stainless bowls, plastic seats. But I think, and it's doable. I've seen where you can build.
We can ask Graham to put that on the agenda for the November meeting, if you'd like.
Because there was something to do with the hygiene, wasn't it, Janet?
That's been talked about before.
But everywhere else hasn't.
They keep getting vandalised, the public toilet seats, would you please?
Perhaps we, as a council, we should all go and sit on these stainless seats and sit on these stainless bowls and see how we
do. No, you shouldn't sit on the seat if you're
We've had this before, no man.
More than once.
Yeah, it went through.
It's come up before more than once.
Yeah, numerous times we've said we're going to do it, hasn't it?
The last time it was decided that we put seats on.
Yeah.
Yeah, as I said, it's come up before more than once.
Maybe you'd like the new general manager to review.
Not to review it, just to
maybe you could have seats on.
Well,
it's been passed.
Maybe you could have seats on some and not on others, and then anyone can choose.
You just need to ask the work manager.
You have a choice. But I tell you, we have got lots of good compliments about having hot water.
Yeah, the showers and stuff.
Oh, people said it's fantastic,
yeah,
being
able
to wash your hands
with
hot water.
Can I bring up something? I had an invite, I think you did too, Mayor and Julie. Our makeup at Michael, we put the... what are those?
AEDs.
AEDs. So he wants to thank council when he's having an opening, and he's got a few politicians. That's up at the community centre at Myena on Friday.
That's right.
Someone, but we'll be away, so I can't go, but...
I'm going.
Julie will go. It'd be nice to have someone represent council.
Like a raincoat.
You'll be there, yeah. I've sent my apologies to the other council. I've said I'd bring it up today.
That's right. Thank you.
So that's at...
Where is it?
The community centre at...
It's near the community centre.
Side of Dunn Road. Official opening 2:00. Afternoon tea, 2:10. So, Michael Walls, we built the... You remember the heated cabinet we used to have to make them?
He's very grateful.
They're so pleased. But, when they got... If you want the chance to talk to a few politicians, who's going?
Guy Barnett.
We're still on audio, everyone.
I know Guy's going because Michael told me that.
Yeah. Where is it?
I don't know, but it is on, so if you have
Someone's got Friday afternoon up this week. This Friday, Jim?
Yes.
Sorry, this Friday, 21st. Yeah.
So in saying that, we will close the meeting at 11:27 and lunch is at 12.
Oh, I'm going here.
Thank you, everyone, and let's hope we get back around the table.